Have you ever met someone who just seemed impossible to please? There was a large dog, and he walks into a butcher shop carrying a purse in its mouth. He puts the purse down, and he sits right in front of the meat case. "What is it, boy?" the butcher kind of asks jokingly. "Want some meat?" "Woof!" barks the dog. "Hum," says the butcher. "What kind of meat?" "Liver? Bacon? Steak?" "Woof!" goes the dog. The butcher then asks him, "Half a pound? A pound?" "Woof!" goes the dog. So the butcher prepares the steak, and he wraps it all up, and he gets into the purse, and he takes out the money, and then he gives it back to the dog. With that, the dog begins to leave, and there's this man who's been standing in line, and he's so intrigued by this that he decides he wants to follow the dog. So he begins to follow the dog, and the dog goes down the street and goes into an apartment complex and walks up to the third floor. The man follows the dog up the stairs, and the dog begins to scratch on one of the doors on the third floor. The door opens, and a man from inside the apartment starts yelling at the dog. So this man who has been following the dog stops him and says, "Wait, wait, wait. That is the most intelligent animal I have ever seen." "Intelligent," says the man from inside the apartment. "This is the third time this week he's forgotten his keys." You ever feel like that man who's been following this dog? You see something that is totally amazing, and it is met with less than enthusiastic and unthankful response. If you have your Bibles, if you can open to Psalm 100. Today we are going to look at a psalm of thanksgiving. See, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. Yeah, most of you probably already know that. And I want to talk about giving thanks today. So, if you have your Bibles or your tablets or whatever it is you use, if you would stand, we are going to read through Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5, which is actually that entire psalm. It's only 5 verses long. It reads like this: "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. In this psalm, which we just read, we see three things about thankfulness. The first thing is that there is this invitation of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a time that we set aside to remember to give thanks to God for all that we have. Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday here in the United States. And this year, as you all know, it's on Thursday, November 28th. But it was in 1621, and that was when the Plymouth colonists and the Wampanoag Indians shared an autumn harvest feast. And that is acknowledged as one of the very first Thanksgiving celebrations in the colonies. For more than two centuries, different days of Thanksgiving were celebrated by individual colonies and by individual states. It wasn't until 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, that President Abraham Lincoln declared a national Thanksgiving Day to be held each November. And it wasn't until 1941 when Franklin D. Roosevelt signed a bill making Thanksgiving the fourth Thursday in November. From the very beginning, the focus was on giving thanks to God. It was an invitation to a nation to give thanks. We see this invitation in the psalm that we've read today. In verse 4, it says, "Enter his courts with thanksgiving." I'm sorry, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." In this verse, the invitation is given. God invites us into his presence. He is inviting us to come, to respond to his love and his grace. God, he wants to spend time with us. Now, Max Lucado, he tells a story about living as an American in Brazil. One day he said as he was walking down the streets on his way to the university to teach a class, he felt a tug on the pant leg as he's walking. He turns around and he sees a little boy, no more than 5 or 6 years old. He had these dark, beady eyes and a dirty face. The little boy looked up at the big American and he said, "Bread, sir?" He was a little beggar boy. Lucado said, "There are always little beggar boys out on the streets in Brazil. Usually he just turns away from them because there are so many of them, you can't feed them all." But there was something so compelling about this little boy that he couldn't turn away. So he takes the boy by the hand and he goes into a coffee shop. And he told the owner, "I'll have a cup of coffee and give the little boy whatever he wants." Now, since the coffee counter was at the other end of the store, Lucado said he walked on to go get his cup of coffee. And he forgot all about the little beggar boy, because usually they just get the bread and then they run out into the street and just disappear. But this one didn't. After he got his pastry, he went over to the big American and he just stood there staring at Lucado. Lucado said that he felt these eyes staring at him, and so he finally looked. Standing up, the boy coming to just about his belt buckle. Then slowly, the boy's eyes started to move up until they met the American. And he stood there with the bread in his hand. And he said, "Thank you, sir. Thank you." Lucado said that he was so touched by the boy's thanks that he would have bought him the store. He says he sat there for another 30 minutes, actually late for his class, just thinking about a little beggar boy who came back and said, "Thank you." What about you? How do you respond to God's love and God's mercy? Do you just take it for granted and forget about it? Or do you accept God's invitation to draw near and to give thanks? You see, there's this invitation of thanksgiving, but there is also the motivation of thanksgiving. What motivated this psalmist to enter in and to give thanks and to praise? It was God's character. It was God's conduct, his love and his faithfulness through the years. You see, Psalm 100 at verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." What is it that motivates us to give thanks today? What does Thanksgiving mean to you? See, the roots of Thanksgiving, they go back much further than when it became a holiday back in 1863. The beginning of it even goes back further than 1621. It was in 1605 that a Native American named Squanto from the village of Patuxent in Massachusetts, it's when he met his very first white man. He later traveled to England with an explorer named John Weymouth. In England, he experienced many adventures. He was able to learn a little bit of English. And then he returned to America back in 1608, some 3 years later. Now, on his return to America, he was kidnapped by an Englishman named Thomas Hunt, who was John Smith's lieutenant. He was taken from Massachusetts along with several other Native Americans by an English ship captain, and he was sold into slavery in Spain. It was there that he was bought by a Spanish monk. The Spanish monk treated him well, freed him from slavery, and taught him the Christian faith. Squanto eventually was able to make his way to England, where he improved on his English. He worked in the stables of a man named John Slaney. Slaney sympathized with Squanto's desire to return home to America. Eventually, he was able to help send him back. But you see, it wasn't until 1618, some 10 years after he was kidnapped, that Squanto was able to board a ship that was heading toward America as a free man. When he arrived home, he learned of the second blow that the English had delivered. His entire tribe had died from an epidemic, probably of smallpox, which was brought on by earlier colonists. He and another American named Samoset, they went to live with a neighboring tribe somewhere near Plymouth, Massachusetts. It was there that he was introduced to the new Pilgrim settlers. And there Squanto became a picture of forgiveness. He had been captured by the English. He had been sold into slavery. His entire tribe had been wiped out by the English in a disease. And instead of being bitter, he chose to help the 47 pilgrims who had barely survived that very first harsh winter. He helped them to build houses. He taught them when to plant their crop and how it should be planted. Without his help, there would not have been some 20 acres of corn harvested that year. Squanto also advised the pilgrims in their relations with other Native Americans. He helped them to make friends. He acted as an interpreter for them. He guided them on these trading expeditions. He gave them advice on bargaining. See, the pilgrims, they wouldn't have made it through that second year without the wisdom and the guidance of Squanto. Governor William Bradford, in Bradford's History of the English Settlement, he wrote these words regarding Squanto's death. He said, Squanto fell ill to Indian fever, bleeding much at the nose, which the Native Americans take as a symptom of death. And within a few days, he died. He begged the governor to pray for him that he might go to the Englishman's God up in heaven. He bequeathed several of his things to his English friends as remembrance, and his death was a great loss. See, there would have been no first Thanksgiving without Squanto, who made a choice to forgive out of the forgiveness that he had received through Jesus Christ. That Thanksgiving flowed out of the thankfulness of one man's heart. Through the trials and the difficult situations, Squanto had been prepared to be a blessing. Do you understand what that's like? What do you have to be thankful for? How has God's great love and thankfulness been seen in your own life in this past year? See, there is this invitation of thanksgiving, and there is the motivation of thanksgiving, and there is also the celebration of thanksgiving. In verses 1, 2, and 3, it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So how do we respond to God's love and God's thankfulness? Notice the three verbs that we find that are used here in these verses about thanksgiving. The very first one is to shout. Shout for joy to the Lord. We come thoughtfully declaring aloud God's goodness. There are so many reasons that we have to give thanks. Listen to these words that were written in 1621 by Edward Winslow. He was one of the 47 members of the Plymouth colony that survived that very first winter. He wrote these words describing the harvest festival. He says, our harvest of corn came in well. And God be praised, we had a good increase of Indian corn. And our barley crop was also good. But our crop of peas wasn't worth the gathering. They were sown too late, and although they came up very well and blossomed, the sun parched them in the blossom. Once our harvest was brought in, our governor sent 4 men out to hunt fowl in order that we might have a special celebration, rejoicing together in the fruits of our labors. Those 4 hunters, in one day, killed enough fowl for the company to eat for almost an entire week. We were joined in our celebration by many Indians, the great king, Indian king, Massasoit, along with some other 90 Indian men, joined us in this 3-day celebration of entertainment and feasting. The Indians themselves went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation And they gave as gifts to our governor and to our captain and to others. And although our harvests are not always so plentiful, it is with at this time with us that it is great. Yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish that you could be here taking part in this plenty. Look at those words. By the goodness of God, we are so far from want. Very profound words. By the goodness of God, so far from want. Is that your testimony today? How do you respond to God's faithfulness? Do you take the time to think about all the ways that God has blessed you? And then you write them down or put them into words, what God has done, and declare that with others, share that with others? Now, the second word is worship. See, we come passionately expressing our hearts in response to God's goodness. And when we think of all that God has done for us, the natural response is worship. In Romans chapter 12, at verse 1, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." See, the key word here in this verse is offer. Worship is all about offering ourselves to God. So why do we worship? Well, it says here that we offer ourselves to God in view of God's mercy. Worship is our response to God's love. God has made the first move, and it is up to us to respond. And what does it mean when it says that we are offering ourselves is our spiritual act of worship? Now, the word in the NIV for spiritual is logikos, which means reasonable. It is where we get the word logical from. In other words, worship makes sense. It is the logical response in God's love, to God's love. We worship because that is what grateful, awestruck people do. Now, the third word that we find in there is know. That means that we experience God's goodness in our lives in a very personal way. The word for know is the Hebrew word yada. Now, if you were here months ago when we talked about the seven words of praise, one of those words was yada, but the spelling is different. That spelling was Y-A-D-A-H. This one is simply Y-A-D-A. And it means more than just some intellectual understanding. It is the same word that is used in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, when it says that Adam knew Eve, his wife. It means a first-hand encounter. Do you truly know that the Lord is God? That God has made you? That you are his? Take time to experience God's goodness in a fresh way this coming week. See, there are a lot of things that we as a church can be thankful for. As we look at what the Lord has done for us and how he has led us over this past year. However, if Thanksgiving is about giving thanks, and we think of what God has done for us, I'd also like us to look a little bit of what God is leading us to and where he wants us to go from here. In this coming year, is there a ministry that God has laid upon your heart? Is there somewhere where God is asking you to help or to do a little bit more? Maybe like Squanto, God has been preparing you to help a certain group of people, or maybe even just one other person. Out of the overflow of what you have received in Jesus Christ, perhaps you're beginning to understand that you have been blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. I want to kind of help motivate you a little bit this morning. There was a middle-aged couple who lived in Michigan. They had a son who lived in New York and a daughter who lived on the other coast in California. The wife said one day that she would really love for the kids to be able to come home for Thanksgiving. So the day before Thanksgiving, the dad picked up the phone. He called his son in New York and he said to him, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that you and your mother and I are getting a divorce. After 45 years of misery, enough is enough. You can call your sister and tell her. So frantic, the son called his sister all the way in California, who exploded over the phone. And she said, there is no way they are getting a divorce. She shouted even louder, I'll take care of this. So she quickly calls her dad back and said to her father, you are not getting a divorce. Don't do anything until I get there. I'm calling my brother right back. And we're both flying home tonight. We'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do anything. Do you hear me? The man hung up the phone and he turned to his wife. He said, okay, honey, the kids are coming home for Thanksgiving. And they're paying their own flights. Make sure you take time this Thursday to celebrate. Spend time with family. Eat turkey if that's what you do. Enjoy whatever it is you do on Thursday for Thanksgiving. But most importantly, take the time to say thank you to God for his many blessings. One way that we can do that, where we can say thank you to God and remember all that God has done for us, is at the communion table, the one that is set before us. And as you take the bread and as you take the juice, remember that God so loved you, even when you were his enemy, that Jesus Christ came and he died on a cross for you. As you remember his body, which was pierced for you, and his blood that was shed, let us offer up thanks and remember all that God has done for us.